Well, a lot has happened since we last spoke. Lots of trades, prospects being called up. First place tie in the NL East. It's Monday, August 3rd. I'm Adam Azarhira for CBSSports.com. And Scott White, now Melchior, are in Fort Lauderdale. And what's up? Good morning, fellas.
The floodgates are open. Every prospect who hasn't been called up yet is up now, or tomorrow, or the next day. I can't even keep up with it anymore.
Yeah, I thought we said that like 2 weeks ago, but we found more prospects.
First pitch, 1:07 p.m. Eastern time today. Get those lineups set early. Which prospect are you most excited about?
Like I said, they're all coming at once. It's hard to keep them sorted out. I guess Ketel Marte, who had filled in for Robinson Cano at second base the last three games, but he's shortstop eligible, and that's why I'm probably most excited about him. I think he has the best chance of making an immediate impact in fantasy, but, you know, not a super exciting skill set, a lot of contact and some speed.
Is he going to play? Are they going to move him to short?
It's a possibility. Cano's played, I think, the last two games, but at DH.
Right, and now
we'll find out tonight. Yeah, they're right at Colorado, so right, we'll see. We'll get a better idea what their plans are for Marte going forward.
Exactly, and Cano is expected to be in the lineup at second base tonight, but we will see because he's been a little banged up. Al, how about you? How about a prospect that you're looking forward to seeing?
All right, well, Scott stole my favorite one, so I guess I'm going to have to go for the next favorite. How about Henry Owens, who gets a crack at the Red Sox rotation with Rick Porcello on the DL?
Unbelievable. You guys should be ashamed of yourself.
I know who you're most excited about.
I am excited as he's Severino. I didn't pick him up in any leagues, but Luis Severino will make his Yankees debut Wednesday. So Owens will go Tuesday for the Red Sox at the Yankees. The next day, Severino will pitch. It would have been nice if they had faced each other.
It would have been nice.
Well, it would have been fun.
It would have been probably nationally televised.
Severino has some ridiculously good minor league numbers, but it is hard for me to trust the Yankees prospect.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And then not just, you know, Severino as a prospect himself, but the way that the Yankees handle it. I think really more that. I don't trust that the Yankees will give a really legitimate shot to a prospect right away.
Especially a 21-year-old.
Especially.
Well, I do, because who else are they going to go to? Pineda's on the DL for probably a month at least.
Chris Capuano?
No, he got the DFA.
Yeah, they could bring him back.
I thought he accepted the assignment.
Oh, well, no, it's not please, no, don't say that. Okay, well, more on all those guys a little bit later. Some announcements for you. We're going to help you, obviously, a lot, catch you up on what's going down and what happened over the weekend. But some announcements first. We got new podcasts launching today. Sportsline podcast. First of all, if you go to sportsline.com, I don't know when it's launching. Has it already launched?
Let's see.
Yeah, let's see. But it's a big, big deal for us. Please check it out. This gives you a really, really cheap alternative to a lot of the Vegas websites if you want some help with spreads, and picks. It launched all right. Really awesome website that we are launching here. Obviously, you're familiar with the Sportsline brand. This is completely new. It's going to help you with DFS. It's going to help you with your picks and analyzing spreads and things like that. And it's really cheap. It's $10 a month. Some of the other websites that give this type of advice, they charge so much money. So we wanted to give a good cheap alternative for everybody. Sportsline.com. The Opening Line Podcast. That's the name of the podcast. I'll be hosting that three times a week. And we're doing our first one today. We're going to have Will Brinson on to talk NFL spreads and NFL over-unders and Super Bowl odds and stuff like that. Also, new college football podcast. We're changing our original college football podcast to an SEC-centric one. It's the SEC on CBS podcast. That is launching today as well. And we want you to go to cbssports.com/play and sign up right now for our fantasy football leagues with our commissioner product, cbssports.com/play. If you sign up now, you're going to get exclusive player rewards, you're getting a free draft kit app, discounted team gear, and a lot more. And if you need the advice, we've got an awesome draft guide for you. Cheat sheets, sleepers, breakouts, busts. It's over 150 pages. It's just totally awesome. I have mine, been reading it, been enjoying it. cbssports.com/draft to get your draft guide. All right. Before we, knock out some of the weekend stuff, email of the day number one comes from Tim in Richmond, Virginia. Dear Mike D, MCA, and AdRock,
Yeah.
That's Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Have you seen the Muppets Beastie Boys?
No.
Thing on YouTube?
No, I haven't.
It's awesome, and I'm gonna let Heath know about this morning because we had a big debate in the office that was Friday, right?
It wasn't a debate. It was
a one-sided discussion.
It was more of an intervention, I think.
Yeah.
With Heath. He's not liking the Muppets, which is probably the equivalent to not liking Santa Claus.
Now, that made its way onto the football podcast, so I'm aware of this.
Yeah, so this might be a game changer for Heath, because the Muppets, they're getting real.
Okay.
Boys.
I'm not a big Muppets guy. I just haven't seen that much. But anyway, here's the email.
Do you dislike the Muppets?
No, I don't dislike them. I just I have no opinion.
Don't even start. They're so charming.
The email from Tim. It seems that for most of this season, whenever Mark Teixeira was discussed on the show, there was heartfelt encouragement to sell high on him as hitting, quote, nothing but home runs was clearly, quote, unsustainable. So is Mark Teixeira still a sell high candidate?
I'm kind of over that. He does just keep hitting home runs, and yet the batting average keeps rising because he just keeps hitting more home runs. And
29 on the season.
I feel like August is a good time to just accept that he is what he is, and what he is very good.
How's this for a stat? Mark Teixeira is the number 4 first baseman in fantasy in points in Roto. He is barely behind Todd Frazier in points, barely behind Anthony Rizzo in Roto. He's having one heck of a year. But Teixeira, if you look at the top 35 first basemen in points in Roto leagues, he has the fewest singles of the top 35.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. But he does have 29.
I think singles are overrated, and maybe he's right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He's healthy, so.
I mean, yeah, that's what he was like. I mean, I hate to drop the when I talk to him thing, but since I did get a chance to talk to him, I feel like I should.
Yeah, I'd love to know what he had to say.
I asked him about all the singles and if he felt like he needed to hit more, and is like, no. Like, I'm going to beat the shift just by hitting it over it. That was my plan. And I was like, all right. Like, why doesn't every player just do that, though? I don't feel like that's something you just get to choose to do, but apparently in his case it is.
Yeah. Well, you guys have Teixeira just outside your top 12. So, rest of the season, Teixeira or Freddie Freeman?
I may need to reconsider that only because of the Braves lineup, which is even worse than, you know, in the preseason when we had some concerns about it. So,
I probably need to move Teixeira ahead.
I'm flipping the switch.
Yeah.
How about Teixeira or Duda, who has 9 homers in his last 8 games?
Yeah, that's gotta be Teixeira.
Not to talk over your stat, because that's a very impressive stat, but
Teixeira. Okay.
Teixeira has 9 home runs every 8 games.
Email of the day number 2 is from Ron. He says, "Dear Drake, Wayne, and Birdman." I don't know that.
It's not members of the Miami Heat.
No. Although if the Heat are good again, I'm sure Drake will be a Heat fan. Anyway, here's the question. In these final crunch time weeks, can you honestly still justify keeping Victor Martinez, who's batting .254 with 6 home runs all year, in a head-to-head categories league? Victor Martinez.
Yes. Why are you citing his season stats when his season completely turned around when he had that DL stint, get some more time to recover from the knee surgery he had preseason and rushed back from? Since then, the numbers have taken in.
Oh, he's been terrible. Terrible.
Oh, no. He hasn't been terrible.
No, since when he came off the DL.
10 doubles and 161 at bats.
When he came off the DL, he was hitting very well. But I'm guessing it's been 2 or 3 weeks of just nothing.
It's been a couple weeks, but what happened those first 3 weeks? I think the knee's the issue anymore. I think the last couple weeks are just what happens to every player over the course of baseball season. Sometimes they're not hitting so well. I trust he's healthy, and I trust it at his best. He's close to the same player he was last year.
It's V-Mart. Drake, Wayne, and Birdman are rappers who are feuding right now. Lil Wayne is suing Brian Birdman Williams, and it apparently has something to do with Drake. So these are the 3 nerdiest losers in the world talking fantasy baseball right now. We have no idea what's going on in pop culture. Sorry.
True enough.
Does that make us losers?
No, I not really. But we probably, I don't know. I guess I need to watch Entertainment Tonight more. Something like that.
That's going to keep you from being a loser. Entertainment Tonight.
Tweet of the day comes from Zach Daniels Sr. Yo, Adam, wondering if you still think nobody thinks the Mets will win the division.
Mets fans are awfully cocky today, aren't they?
No, they've earned it. I don't think they're going to win the division, though. I'll take the Nationals.
They've earned it, I guess, if they're actually going to stick with it. And when they go on a 4-game losing streak, not act like the world's ending again. They're so emotional.
Well, Cologne's pitching tonight, so the losing streak might begin.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the NL East?
Nationals.
Yeah.
That was a heck of a series.
I'm sticking with Mets in the wild card.
Are you?
Oh, no, okay. No. They're too far. I mean, aren't they too far back?
Kind of. Well, I don't think they're too
probably
far
not,
back.
Yeah. Probably not.
It's early August.
I like the Cubs more, and the Giants, you can never count them out. So.
You got the Pirates, the Cubs, the Giants, the Dodgers. One of the Dodgers and Giants will win the division. But between the Pirates, Cubs, and NL West loser, they're going to beat the Mets.
Well, yeah. Even though the Mets are closer to the NL East lead, I actually think they've got a better chance in the wild card because anything could happen with the Cubs and the Pirates.
Last three games of the season, Nationals at Mets. That should be pretty awesome. And how about Noah Syndergaard facing Bryce Harper in the eighth inning, blows a 99-mile-per-hour fastball right by him. Swing and a miss. Really cool series. Good stuff going on there at Citi Field.
Noah Syndergaard, man.
Really good.
I feel like every top Mets pitching prospect that gets called up, like you can just they're as much a sure thing as any pitching prospect can be.
Maybe even the mid-range Mets prospects.
Maybe, because I read this interesting article on FanGraphs about what's their pitching coach's name? I think it's Dan Worthen.
Worthen, yeah.
Is it Dan Worthen?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the slider he teaches all these power pitchers they're bringing up. And, like, that was a big key to DeGrom's success. They, like, his slider velocity increased all of a sudden and became this wipeout pitch. And, it's just something that's, that's like permeating the whole pitching staff. And that's why they're having a lot of success, apparently.
Let's go over some of the news from the weekend. Jason Kipnis could be going on the DL with a shoulder injury. Corey Dickerson back on the DL with broken ribs. Is he worth holding on to, Corey Dickerson?
I'm going to say yes for right now, but I guess it depends. I have not seen a timetable for his return. So
at first they said there is no timetable, so I haven't seen an update from that.
There is no spoon.
So yeah, it's frustrating, but hard to drop.
See, we're on the verge of letting another good reference just go right by us.
What is there is no spoon?
It's Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Nah.
Every time somebody says there is no something, I think of that. I
watched The Matrix when it first came out, and they have the scene where they completely explain to you what The Matrix is, and I still was like, I have no idea what The Matrix is. Chris Tillman has an ankle injury. Should we avoid Chris Tillman this week?
It depends on the format. But yeah, I mean, this was very poorly timed. He was my top pitching target for in my Friday pitching target column. And pretty much simultaneous to the time that went up came the news that he might be scratched, and then he was scratched. So yeah, I don't really like him that much as a one-star pitcher in a 12-team mixed league, even though he's been phenomenal lately.
Right, he was supposed to be a two-star pitcher. That's not going to happen.
Anything deeper than 12-team, I'd start him.
CJ Wilson's on the DL with this elbow injury. Bone chips in his elbow could be out for the season. So does that mean Andrew Heaney owners can exhale, and does that mean Matt Shoemaker should be picked up?
Yeah, this was life finding a way, as we used to say on the podcast.
As we used to say.
These things have a way of working themselves out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. Weaver's coming back, but Heaney gets to stay, and Shoemaker gets to stay. Shoemaker, I guess, probably the biggest winner here. The way he's pitched his last couple times out, suddenly looking mixed league relevant again.
We just need that to happen one more place. right?
Yeah, do tell.
Washington.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those Doug Fister bone chips.
Life finds a way.
I will not drop Joe Ross until they tell me he's out of the rotation. And Fister pitches tonight against the Diamondbacks, so root against Doug Fister if you like Joe Ross. Justin Turner's on the DL. He has a skin infection. Alex Guerrero is someone I picked up in a roto league. Do you expect him to get enough at-bats and do well enough to help people out for a couple weeks? Alex Guerrero.
I don't know. I mean, in a completely fair world, yeah, but they've just been so reluctant to use him on an everyday basis. You know what I actually did with the news of Turner going on the DL? A couple roto leagues with 29, 30-man rosters. I picked up Corey Seager.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because now Oliveira's gone, and Turner's down, and what's in his way? Nothing but Guerrero.
Oh, interesting. Doesn't seem like it'll be a long-term thing for Turner, right?
I wouldn't think. It's a kind of a freakish thing where I think it just started out as, was it like either a bug bite or a pimple or something like that? I think a pimple.
Ooh, wow. Got to start treating those more seriously.
Yeah.
Want to end up on the DL. Matt Moore, AAA. Tampa Bay is going to a four-man rotation for the time being. More on Moore in a little more time. Steven Souza out 4 to 6 weeks, broken hand. Steven Strasburg should be back later this week. Starter sit Strasburg.
I would sit.
Yeah, a little risky. Giancarlo Stanton says his rehab is going slower than expected. Oh, this one I don't like. Miguel Montero. He's close to returning. What's going to happen there with Schwarber?
Supposedly the Schwarbs are staying up.
Does that mean he's going to not, you know, get much less playing time?
Well, I wouldn't think he'd stay up to play less than now that they've acknowledged, okay, we're willing to let this guy play some outfield. I would assume that means he would play primarily outfield. He would become, like Evan Gattis was for the Braves, what, 3 years ago? Mostly outfield with some occasional catcher. I would guess.
Okay.
It'd be bad for Chris Coughlin. I could see Schwarber, you know, losing a game or two a week to it.
Michael Conforto. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Al.
No, I think that might be enough to hurt him in 10 and 12 team leagues.
Michael Conforto was sent to AAA and then he was recalled.
Yeah. Who played center field for the Mets yesterday? Because Kirk Nieuwenhuis went on the DL and it was him and Lagares splitting time in center field.
Was it not Lagares?
Let me just make sure here. Yoenis Cespedes
began
the game in center field. And obviously Granderson's played some center field in his past. So if they're willing to let one of them start there, then Conforto could still play regularly. He looked like the big loser with the Cespedes deal because they none of those three, Granderson, Cespedes, or Conforto is really a center fielder anymore. But if they're willing to let one of them play it, then there's an opportunity there still.
Some injuries you're going to want to check on. AJ Pollock has a knee injury, so that's a little risky, and you have to set your lineup early. Starter sit AJ Pollock.
I am probably going to start him in weekly leagues.
How about Chris Bryant?
No. Concussion possibility, I'd rather not.
Angelton Simmons, sprained thumb. Joe Panik, starter sit.
I would probably just be cautious and sit him.
Coco Crisp is probably going to return Tuesday and bat second behind Billy Burns. Any interest in Coco Crisp?
Nope.
Billy Burns.
Vince Velasquez, sent to the minors, so I'm guessing that means Mike Fiers is in the Houston rotation?
It would appear so, and I mean, it looks like maybe Scott, the scenario that you brought up at the get-go after this trade, that with Feldman,
yeah,
the rotation, it looks like, I haven't seen anything official, but that seems to be what's going to happen.
What, Feldman being out?
Yeah.
He started the day after the trade, but that just may have been, you know, they couldn't get anybody on turn. McCullers, though, in the long run, I think Feldman and Fiers are both going to be in the rotation because he's going to have to be out.
Yeah.
Because of innings. But, we know Fiers is in. It's not 100% clear yet who's out. Velasquez was pitching in the bullpen before he got sent to the minors.
Pablo Sandoval, he pinch hit Sunday, didn't start all weekend. He has a bruised forearm. Josh Reddick left Sunday's game with lower back tightness. And Jock Peterson returned to the Dodgers lineup, but he was batting eighth, and he has been really bad. So, you know, if he's batting eighth and really bad, maybe you're not starting Jock Peterson this week. Scott probably start Jock Peterson, right?
I probably would. Yeah, because this isn't... I would. Sorry.
Let's go through the bullpen here. I'm going to name a situation. You tell me who the closer is going to be in 2 weeks. Miami.
A.J. Ramos.
Yep.
Yeah, general manager Dan Jennings said Ramos is the closer.
It helps that, despite his struggles recently, Carter Capps is dealing with a bit of an injury.
Elbow stiffness.
Yep. Yeah.
Which sounded very, very scary, and I still think it's scary, although Cap says he thinks it could be minor.
Well, he's a cheater, so, you know.
Hey, Yankees almost got him.
I was hoping they would, because he's great. Detroit probably going to use Alex Wilson as their closer, so that's an easy one, Alex Wilson.
Yep.
If you've seen, Kenley Jansen has been pitching all that well lately. He's been battling a virus, but he's clearly the guy. All right, the Cubs.
I'm going to say Hector Rondon as much as the Cubs will have a steady closer. I don't really trust Joe Maddon to go with the steady guy for the rest of the season.
He's not going steady, that Joe Maddon.
Well, Rondon has four of Chicago's last five saves, and they've had a save in five straight games.
I just think he's their best reliever.
Yeah.
That's why I pick him, too. But he blew his last save chance, right?
No, he got it. He just didn't pitch well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been pitching pretty well, and then so he had a save Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then on Saturday, Tommy Hunter got one, but I'm guessing Rondon wasn't available.
He wasn't.
And Rondon got one on Sunday.
He had, I think he pitched, that's neither here nor there. Just the pattern we've seen with Maddon is that, when somebody blows a save, like, he switches it up,
yep.
You know? So that's why I asked if he blew a save.
How about Roberto Ozuna in Toronto? You think he's the guy in 2 weeks?
Yeah, he's locked in now. They didn't make a trade.
Yeah, now I'm not sure. The only waiver deal I could see maybe happening is K-Rod, and I think that's probably not probable. Probably not probable. Okay.
Who's the closer in Minnesota in 2 weeks?
Come on, Perkins.
Okay. He's been struggling. How about in Seattle?
Yeah, tough. I'll say Wilhelmsen.
Wilhelmsen.
Hmm. I don't know what's wrong with Carson Smith, but...
No man muscles.
That must be it.
Still got the kid muscles. I'm going to say Rodney, because that's really what McClendon wants, and they think they've figured out that he's tipping his pitches. And I actually saw a tweet from somebody that kind of showed the side-by-side comparison of how he sets up for a fastball and how he sets up for one of his secondary pitches. And, yeah, looks like he's tipping his pitches to me, too.
Yeah.
The thing is, when Rodney wasn't tipping his pitches, he still wasn't that good.
Exactly. I was going to say, how long has he been pitching, tipping his pitches? All right, fine. I'll make things confusing, and I'll take Carson Smith in this mess. But Wilhelmsen and Rodney, if you're desperate for a closer... They're names that you should know. And finally, Colorado.
I think I've been paying close attention to this situation over the weekend because I really need a closer in a 24-team league. I picked up Justin Miller and Tommy Conley. Rafael Betancourt's name has been out there too. It seems like Weiss is holding Conley back for the ninth inning. He's been using Betancourt and Justin Miller and in other situations. And I don't think Axford's going to reclaim the job anytime soon, so I'm guessing Tommy Conley.
Okay. Hey, FanDuel! You know how much we love FanDuel. Get on there and start playing today. Use our offer code. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Type in CBSPOD, CBS Pod, and for every dollar you deposit, up to $200 on your first deposit, FanDuel's going to match it dollar for dollar, and that'll get earned as you play. The offer code, again, is CBS Pod. We are really enjoying FanDuel. I was texting Al about FanDuel on Friday night because I had Ian Kennedy and Craig Kimbrell blew it at the Marlins. I'm sure Al was pretty psyched about that, but I wasn't. So that's it's infectious, people. Get on there and start playing right now. And we have a tournament every day, every weekday, Monday through Friday. FanDuel.com/CBSBod. If you want to, CBS Pod, not CBS Bod. That would be my own special tournament. Just kidding. CBS Pod. Get on there, start playing against us. $2 Monday through Friday, 150 people in there. So, you know, sign up as soon as you can and we will be happy to take your money.
Oh yeah.
We got a FanDuel giveaway today. Let's see what the giveaway is. Dun, 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 dun. Today's giveaway is 5 entries into the MLB squeeze. Tweet me at Adam Aizer, A-I-Z-E-R, at Adam Aizer, A-I-Z-E-R. 5 free entries into the MLB squeeze, and I will hook you up.
Squeeze it.
I'll pick them at random, so please tweet me.
All right. Remember, squeeze it? Those little, like...
Yeah, of course.
Sugar water squeezable bottles?
Of course. Remember Ecto Coolers?
Oh, Ecto Cooler, man. Green Tangerine.
Yeah, those were disgusting, but I loved them. Like, I can't even imagine having an Ecto Cooler now.
I'd do it. If I could find one, you can find me an Ecto Cooler, Adam, I'd do it.
I would mess around with a Capri Sun, but not an Ecto Cooler.
Oh, Capri Suns were so hard to open.
So unreasonably hard to open.
And the pouch actually said easy to open on it.
Did it really?
I was like taunting you.
Yeah.
I'd always just end up poking the straw through the bottom.
Really?
Quickest way in.
I'm sorry. You feel left out here?
Yeah, I do. This is, cultural references lost on the old guy.
Okay, so going through some trades and call-ups here. And I know it's been somewhat of a slow show, and we have a lot to get to, so here we go.
We should speed it up.
We should. The Mets got Yoenis Cespedes. Value up, down, or the same?
I got to say down.
More because of supporting cast than anything.
Pretty much just because of that.
Yeah, I mean, not... not drastically down, but down.
The Blue Jays acquired Mark Lowe. I thought for a second they might try him in the ninth, but that's not happening. The Blue Jays acquired Ben Revere. Value up, down to the same.
Oh, it's up because they say that he's not going to be platooned. And to me, it is really funny that he had to go from the Phillies to the Blue Jays to find more playing time.
Yeah.
He got moved to, he's batting leadoff too, right?
No, that's the thing. So he batted leadoff on Saturday, but Tulowitzki was out that day. They sat him just to be cautious.
Gotcha.
And then he batted ninth on Sunday, so I don't know where he's going to bat.
Well, probably ninth, but still ahead of Tulowitzki, Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion. I mean, you'd rather him bat first ahead of those guys, but batting ahead of those guys is still going to raise his value.
Yeah, actually, Devin Travis, when he was batting ninth, he was actually scoring a pretty good amount of runs. So, I see your point there. The Cubs acquired Dan Haren. Value up, down, or the same?
Down.
It's down, definitely, yeah.
Because of the
park? One of the big losers.
Because of the park?
Because of the park, yeah.
Sorry. On the road this year, 2 home runs per 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know that he's going to get a whole lot more run support with the Cubs unless they start, hitting a lot better.
Oakland acquired Felix DuBrant. Okay. The Pirates got Jay Happ. AJ Burnett could be out for the season, which would be out for the career because this will be his last year. The Pirates got Michael Morse. Minnesota got Kevin Jepsen. Quote of the weekend came from my girlfriend when I told her that the Yankees DFA'd Garrett Jones. She said, she was very upset about it. She said, quote, I know he's not that good, but I just liked looking at him. Yeah, she has a huge crush on Garrett Jones. So
yeah.
I wasn't disappointed that he got DFA'd.
Does she watch a lot of Yankees baseball?
Not by choice, Scott. But
oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yes,
I guess they must show a lot of shots into the dugout on those Yankee broadcasts.
That's the first thing she looks. Yeah, I know. It's a nice little zinger there. First thing she looks for when somebody bats. But she loves to share, because who doesn't love to share these days? Seattle, not only do they call up Ketel Marte, but they want a good look at Jesus Montero before the season ends.
Yeah, that's interesting. Less interesting when I found out he's not catcher eligible on CBSSports.com leagues. But still interesting, because his minor league numbers this year are off the chain.
Off the heezy? Yeah, that's what the kids say.
I'm a loser, like you said. He's only 25, so, you know, still able to redeem this career. 346 with 16 home runs and a 938 OPS at AAA Tacoma.
Yeah, okay, that's Jesus Montero, so keep an eye on
him. He only has to beat out Logan Morrison, right? That shouldn't be too tough.
Or, you know, whoever they would slot in a DH, assuming Nelson Cruz would play more outfield.
And we talked about Severino and Henry Owens, but also the Twins have put Tommy Malone on the DL. So they will start Tyler Duffy against Toronto. They were considering Jose Berrios and Taylor Rogers, but they wanted a righty against Toronto. Are any of those pitchers worth looking at?
No, not really. I mean, certainly if it was Berrios coming up or if there were plans to bring him up later, he would be he'd probably be the best prospect.
Yeah.
to come up. But I don't trust that the Twins will do that. And as far as Duffy goes, I don't know if it's one and done. Part of the rationale too was, they wanted somebody who could keep the ball down against the Blue Jays, which is why they ruled out a return for Trevor May to the rotation. So, yeah, I have no idea where this goes after this particular start.
Time to play trash or stash. Tell me what you're doing with these guys. Ubaldo Jimenez, trash or stash?
Trash.
Trash.
Carlos. ERA's over four now. What a bum.
Carlos Rodon. Scott, picked him up. He bid $78 on Carlos Rodon.
What?
Or maybe it was, $6.
That's a big difference, yeah, Adam.
Huge difference.
I think you're thinking of Hector Rondon I picked up for
$6. Oh, that's so much better than Carlos Rodon. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Oh, gosh. I gotta rub my eyes before I read those transaction emails in the morning. Okay, how about Carlos Rodon? Trash or stash?
Trashing him too.
I was about to pick him up after his last start, so I hate to just commit to trash, but man, the walk rate is so high. I'll trash him.
Yeah, Scott was gonna pick him up for $76, but
yeah.
Eduardo Rodriguez, trash or stash?
I'm gonna say stash just because I feel like I've been on the verge of trashing him about three times already, and he always bounces back with a good start, so one more chance.
I did trash him in a league where I could pick up Matt Shoemaker.
Okay.
With the CJ Wilson news, that was enough to elevate Shoemaker to ownership status for me.
Would you drop Eduardo Rodriguez for Kevin Gausman?
I don't think so.
That's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah, I guess I'll say no as well.
Would you drop Eduardo Rodriguez for Daniel Norris?
No.
I would not.
Did that start by Daniel Norris move the needle for you yesterday? 36% owned, 7 1/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts at Baltimore, 4 Detroit in his Detroit debut.
A little bit, sure. I mean, I think you could just as easily go out the next time and have a pretty bad start, but better than I would have thought for his first start with a new team against a really tough opponent.
Yeah, minor league numbers just weren't that good for Norris, which is why I didn't, you know, I thought about picking him up, and then I looked at the minor league stats, and I was like, meh.
Yeah. Minor league stats, though, are really one of the least predictable evaluation tools with minor leaguers, I feel like.
Oh, great.
Well, look at Taylor Youngman. He had an ERA near 7, and now he's the Brewers' best pitcher, arguably.
I think, wow. You know, yeah, you can't, you know, expect that they're going to translate. Or even translate with you know, something of a discount for the harder level competition. But I think Youngman is pretty exceptional in that he seemed to put some things together and break out around the time he got called up. I don't think that normally happens.
Trash or stash Joe Ross?
Got a stash.
I'm trashing him.
Yeah, you're
convinced.
Strasburg's
about to come back. I'm with
Adam.
Life finds a way.
Until he's in a Syracuse uniform. I'm hanging on Joe Ross.
At least wait one more night, because Pfister goes tonight against the Diamondbacks, and it's not like they're running away with the division. They're tied right now. So if Pfister really isn't good, then they might actually say, okay, we got to keep Ross in the rotation.
You make a good point, but I guess the one league I owned him, there was a pitcher that I had to make a spot for. I can't remember who it was, but I probably cut him for Matt Shoemaker.
Okay.
So you're saying one more night because you can't wait forever?
Give me one more night. You got it. Matt Moore, trash or stash?
Trash.
Trash.
Kendall Graveman, trash or stash?
Stash.
I'll trash him. Man, this was kind of an isolated start, the good one he had Friday against the Indians.
The weird thing with him, he had two really bad starts in a row. Naturally, the week I recommended him highly. But before that, he'd had seven really good starts in a row.
Yeah.
And in those two starts, and I haven't rechecked his velocity from this last one, he threw a lot harder in those two bad starts. So I almost wonder if there was something going on there where he was, you know, he'd figured out a way to you know, dial it up, but lost his command. Because that was the thing that really didn't seem to be off for him. So I think there could still be something there for Graveman. And, you know, as we've said all season long, I mean, he's somebody you really are only targeting as a SPARP anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So in that format, I think he's worth another shot.
You know who he reminds me of, Graveman, in that regard, is these two really bad starts, but was good before that, and then bounced back with a good one. It's almost exactly what Kyle Gibson has mm-hmm. done, except Gibson even longer before Graveman. You know, Gibson basically, after his first three or four starts of the season, had like a mid-2 ERA before last week, or 2 weeks ago, when he had two yeah. starts against the Angels and the Yankees. Of course, I started him that, picked him up and started him that week. He had two terrible starts. And of course, I dropped him. And now he's back. So is Gibson really, you know, actually having a breakout year? And we should just kind of forgive him for those two bad starts against tough lineups.
I think I've got him sort of on wait and see status. But, I do think he's had at least a breakout of sorts this year, because during that stretch that you just mentioned, it was a very long stretch and with pretty consistently higher strikeout rates. So he's better, whether or not he's good enough and consistent enough to be trusted every week. I'm still not sold.
For Gibson, it was 15 starts with a 2.38 ERA before those two bad ones a couple of weeks ago. Should we talk about the most added list, or would you guys like to talk about who you have added recently?
Well, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
All right, who's on your radar?
I picked up, now I don't, is it Ketel Marte? Because I've also heard it pronounced Kettle.
It's Ketel, yes. According to Baseball Reference.
Okay, that's good enough for me. So, yeah, I targeted him in a few leagues, and Derek Dietrich. I'd say those are the two main guys.
Deep league hero, Al Melchior.
Yes.
Hey, we need it. It's important.
We need it. We need it like we need a punch in the face. No, I don't know.
No. Somebody's got to represent the deep leagues.
Yeah, I was just kidding about the punch in the face thing.
Punch him in the face, Al.
Rondon, you mentioned, I picked him up. He was my favorite of the potentially new coming closers here, like over Rodas Vizcaino, and well, I guess we have to include Ken Giles on that list, because for some reason he's still only 57% owned. I don't know why. Giles is the top one, but if failing him, Rondon is my favorite. I finally picked up Jung Ho Kang in a league where I think it was a Roto league. I'd been starting Cesar Hernandez at shortstop. It's not like Hernandez has completely fallen off the map. Obviously, he provides steals that Gong won't, but Gong, I think, is nearing must-own status. Still available in 28% of leagues.
Is that it?
Patrick Corbin.
Oh, there we go.
He's available in 28% of leagues as well, and he needs to be owned in every league. Oh, he's a two-star pitcher this week, right? So that
yeah.
makes it even more surprising. He's only 72% owned.
That's it's gone up quite a bit, because I think going into the weekend, it was still under 60. So 60% owned, that is.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I did try to pick up Alex Wilson, but failed.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him, and you know, this is for me a big turnaround from a few days ago when I said just avoid the whole Tigers situation, because Wilson wasn't on my radar at all, because I just assumed that Osmus wouldn't see him as a starter. Not a big strikeout guy, but I think he'd be very effective and get you saves.
How about Hector Olivera?
Yeah, that was a guy who I at least wanted to add him in Roto. I found that second and third base on my Roto teams, like there was just no way he was going to get in there for me, and I didn't want to cut like a like a Preston Tucker type for him. At least going into the week, Tucker's about to have. But they're kind of in the same ballpark for me in terms of how widely they should be owned.
Here's the most added list on CBSSports.com. Luis Severino is 67% owned. Adam Eaton, 77% owned. He's the second most added player. Arodys Vizcaíno, third. Ken Giles, 4. Aaron Hicks, 5. Alex Wilson, 6. Hicks is somebody I added in a 16-team league.
Yeah. Scott, I like Hicks. Yeah. I do.
Yeah, you talked about him on Friday.
Roto leagues, he doesn't stand out so much because he's a lot of his value is the peripherals. And he just, because rosters are smaller in head-to-head points leagues, it makes it so he's not a big priority in either format, but he's in the discussion for sure.
Edwin Mujica, Jung Ho Kang, Daniel Norris, Zach Godley, 2 starts this week. I still don't trust them enough to start him.
I don't either. Didn't pick him up.
Wouldn't mind stashing him, but Godley's got the Nationals and the Reds, I think. Definitely the Nationals. Faces Pfister tonight. Jimmy Nelson, 69% owned Jimmy Nelson. And Corbin is 72% owned. Who do you like better, Nelson or Corbin?
Corbin.
Yep.
R.A. Dickey, 52% owned. He's been pretty good lately.
He has, but...
You said that with the exact same inflection that I was about to.
Yeah. And what I was expecting, too.
Yeah. I mean, innings and wins for the Blue Jays, they kind of go hand in hand, and you know, you can trust he'll get wins with the Blue Jays, probably. But there's just nothing else there, and I feel like there's got to be something better on waivers. Like Corbin or Nelson.
Is Jake Peavy better than R.A. Dickey?
Yeah, that was the name you read my mind. Was going to throw him out there. I'd rather have him than Dickey, both as a two-start guy this week and just rest of season.
Here's a two-start guy that was available in a couple of my leagues, and I just couldn't pull the trigger. Because even though we talked about how he's had like 4 bad starts all year, and other than that he's been really good, I can't trust Colby Lewis.
Oh, of course you can't.
Okay,
why would you?
It's not just me.
No.
Man, apart from that 10 earned run start, he's been so good.
There are a few others in there, but I think you can say that about every pitcher.
Oh, they're all quality starts. I think, 10 of his last 11 are quality starts? And then
Yeah, okay, in his last 11 starts, yeah. But yeah, before that stretch,
that's a long time.
Oh, it is. I know. Look, I'm with you. I'm not even going to argue here. I'm with you. It's just I couldn't trust him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm just saying. gotta put the facts out there.
Most drop list. Tell me if you disagree with any of these. Jim Johnson, CJ Wilson, Drew Storen, Cody Anderson, Joaquin Soria, Mike Bolsinger, Michael Conforto, Matt Moore, Chris Young, John Axford, Jason Mott, Clay Buchholz, Tyler Clippard, AJ Burnett. Hard to disagree with any of those.
I mean, there's really good reasons for all those. The only one you might question is Tyler Clippard, but even though he got the save last night, you know, that was just because Familia was unavailable, and I think Familia will keep the role.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think we've really mentioned Bolsinger and when we're covering all the angles of that 3-team trade, the fact that he's kind of unfairly out of a job now.
They at least put him in the bullpen. I was surprised to see him go to Triple A.
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that, actually, so glad you brought that up. Wasn't even thinking. Okay. I'm a little surprised Alexi Ramirez is not on the most added list. Since the start of July, it's 26 games. Ramirez is batting .309 with 5 home runs. 3 of them have come in the last 5 games. He also has 5 steals. And Ramirez is 55% owned. So Alexi Ramirez, guys, for a shortstop, only 55% owned. Interested?
No, I'm not. He is probably a little under-owned just because the position's weak. But, you know, he's been around a pretty long time now. And if you recall, last year he got off to a very hot start. And I think he's perfectly capable of doing something like this for a month or a month and a half. But eventually he's going to find a settling point. And you're going to be looking for another shortstop again.
Well, but a month and a month and a half is basically the rest of the season.
Well, but I'm saying from when he started this.
Okay. Yeah, it's already been a month.
Yeah, time's up.
Okay, let's talk about the stud pitchers and how they did over the weekend. Is Colin McHugh a stud must start?
Not quite. But if you've got him, you should at least stash him in the weeks when you've got better options.
Yeah. What's saving him is the win-loss record. I think he got his 13th win over the weekend.
13-5.
So I feel like every time we bring him up on the podcast, we're talking about him negatively because he really hasn't pitched that well, not as well as at least my expectations. But at the same time, I don't feel like his fantasy owners are disappointed. So there's kind of a disconnect. Oh, McHugh's been so bad. Oh, but he keeps scoring lots of points.
Right. Julio Teheran. What do you think?
You just kind of have to wait and see what happens next time, every time with him.
I know. I'm not starting him. No way.
I'm not either.
No.
He's so, he's so annoying. Hisashi Iwakuma sat him yesterday. That was stupid.
Oops.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 have been great now, so that one bad one kind of threw us all off, but I think he's back.
Taiwan Walker, complete game, one hit, one run, one walk, 11 strikeouts at Minnesota.
Yeah, now there's one where, you know, I could see the tide turn with just the one start because he was so consistently excellent. You know, earlier in the year, prior to the slump. And, it's just a matter, he's just trying to find consistency. And I think as soon as he shows you a sign that he's right, that you gotta start him.
Hooray for Taiwan Walker. Danny Salazar. He is, 2-2 with a 1.53 ERA, Danny Salazar, in his last 4 starts. Giving up 2 home runs in that stretch against Oakland, at Milwaukee, home against the White Sox, and at Oakland. Is he approaching must-start territory, Salazar?
He was there earlier in the year before he hit that little bit of a speed bump, and I'd say he's back.
I totally agree.
Michael Wacha. I mean, nobody's sitting him, but it was nice to see this start against Colorado because 7 innings scoreless with 4 hits and a walk and 7 strikeouts for Wacha. Previous 10 starts, 4.60 ERA.
Yeah, agreed. Encouraging, a little baffling, but you just keep the faith in him.
How about some struggling studs from over the weekend? Tell me if you're particularly sour on any of these guys. Jeff Samardzija got rocked. Anibal Sanchez has a 4.77 ERA. Jordan Zimmermann. Don't even get me started. Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels was doing pretty well until the later innings against the Giants on Saturday. Gio Gonzalez. Did not pitch very well against the Mets. Only gave up 1 run, but he's not going deep into games. We'll stop there. Samardzija, Sanchez, Jordan Zimmermann, Hamels, Gio.
Gio might be the most over-owned player in fantasy.
Ooh, I like it.
He is not the pitcher we remember him being. Even when he pitches well, it's a lot of times 5 and 6 innings, and a lot of time he doesn't pitch that well. His whip is 1.4 something on the year. So he's become more hittable, and the walks are still an issue. And I think I'd probably rather have somebody like Eduardo Rodriguez because at least his good starts are really exceptionally good.
Yeah, and I agree with all that. And except most over-owned player, I'd actually probably give that to Anibal Sanchez, or at least I would, you know, put him closer to that than the Gio. They're both owned at 93%. I have even less faith in Sanchez, who just seems to have pretty high implosion potential this year.
But at least he delivers innings. That's the thing. Like, and with a good offense backing him, it's given him 10 wins. I hear you. I mean, he hasn't been especially reliable, but I do think I like him a little more than Gio.
Well, I would drop Gio for Latos.
Yeah, I would too. I'd drop either of those guys for Latos.
Latos is only 77% owned.
Samardzija is an interesting one, too, because I had really started to come around on him and not been good lately.
Lately he has been good, just this one bad start. The 9 before it, 2.78 ERA, 0.97 whip, and only 4 home runs allowed. Home runs being usually his biggest issue, right?
Right.
So I'm gonna give him a pass for this start just because a 9-start stretch of real improvement.
And I'm taking another look at the game log, and this one was disastrous, but the two of the three before that were 4-run starts. You know, he's providing a lot of innings. He's been very efficient. So to say he's bad is probably an overstatement, but I'm not really that interested in defending him anymore.
With that said, tell me if you're interested at all in Raisel Iglesias, Martin Perez, or Aaron Brooks.
If Perez can have a few more starts like this one, was it 2 hits in 8 innings?
Yeah.
But it was the one, it was a really good start, but it was the only even decent one in 4, I think, since returning. So I'm not jumping on him just yet. I don't think he has especially high ceiling anyway.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm not really that moved by this really good start by Perez because we've seen before, I think it was, last season before the Tommy John surgery, he got off to a really good start. But, like Scott said, not a very high ceiling, and I could see him, going back to being pretty ineffective, going forward. Of the ones you mentioned, the one that I probably would have some interest in is Iglesias, because at least there is upside there.
We're going to read some emails, and then we'll talk DFS. An email from Donnie Liliuokalani from Halaiwa, Hawaii. How did I do there?
I think you did amazing.
You're probably asking the wrong guy.
It's better than I would have done.
Aloha. Who should I add at utility in a points league? Solarte, Paredes, Peralta, Eaton, Maben, Moustakas.
Eaton.
Yeah, in a points league. I think he's the standout at this point.
Over Jahani Peralta, who somehow is unowned?
I thought he meant David Peralta.
That's probably a smarter thing. I am an idiot. As soon as you started
Even with David Peralta, I mean, that was where I had a little bit of hesitation. He's probably my second favorite on the list.
All right, next up, Paula in Long Island. Dear nerds, how owned should Ben Paulson be? 10-team league with slugging percentage as a category. Would you drop? Oh, this is not from Paula, by the way. It's from Jake. I'm sorry. Paula, you're next. Jake wants to know if he should drop Curtis Granderson for Ben Paulson.
I would not.
Nor would I. Granderson's been.
Ugh, I know. I feel
quite well.
I know. I can't believe it.
I think Ben Paulson did something notable over the weekend that had the Rockies official Twitter account tweeting about him. And they tweeted, his name is Ben Paulson. And I just wondered, I'd been waiting for that reference to come up with him. And I'm glad it finally did.
Oh, it's
with
happened.
The Rockies official Twitter account.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's happened on this podcast before.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost positive. Oh, know what? No, it hasn't. It's happened on the football podcast, I think, with Logan Paulson.
Yeah, yeah. I've always recited that in my head with him, too.
What's Paulson's first name in Fight Club?
Robert.
Robert Paulson, okay.
Which, by the way, the Ninja Turtles cartoon, the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, the voice of Raphael... His name is Robert Paulson.
That is the quirkiest piece of trivia we've ever had.
Yeah.
Good job. Okay, now, Paula, it's time for Paula's email. Dear Dottie, Doris, and all the way May.
League of Their Own.
People don't talk about this. This is one of the great sports movies of all time, and I always forget it. It's a great one. 12-team points, keeper league. I get to keep 2. Do I go with pitching, hitting, or one of each?
I would probably lean towards 2 hitters, unless, I don't know, you have Kurt. Who would I keep as a pitcher? Kershaw, Sale, Scherzer.
I think just go with your 2 best, though, generally speaking, right?
Yeah, but, she's asking us for a rule of thumb here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there is a rule of thumb. I just know that, I wouldn't go 2 pitchers.
Okay. Barney Ross from Spuds, Florida. That's a real place?
I don't think so.
Okay. You're a liar, Barney. 12-team points league. I need to add a starter. Who should I add? Aaron Nola, Daniel Norris, Luis Severino, Chris Tillman, Kyle Hendricks, or Kyle Gibson?
You need to add 1, he said.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is Aaron Nola. Slightly edging out Tillman. It's close between those two.
To me, it would be no debate, actually, if Tillman were fully healthy right now, but I will still give Tillman an edge over over Nola and Gibson.
By the way, according to Wikipedia, Spuds is an unincorporated community in St. Johns County, Florida, United States.
St. Johns County is not a real county in Florida. There's no way.
You're just making that up, right?
Yeah, you're the one making stuff up now.
Now, yeah, I am making that up, but I just don't believe it. Okay, so
it's I think it's where St. Augustine is.
It's Al. Just don't encourage them.
I wasn't in high school. I wasn't living in Florida when I was in high school, so I didn't get the Florida, or actually middle school. I guess you get the state history.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of these places.
Well, you just were a bad student then.
I'm a believer in Spuds now.
So, FanDuel.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you all right now. FanDuel is down for scheduled maintenance, so I can't look up my lineup. However, I don't really like my team today. It's tough. The only thing I really do like is the pitcher choice. To me, it's so obviously Jose Quintana at the Rays.
What?
Yeah. Who
really? So obviously? There's so many aces going.
There are several, but
I like Quintana at 84 for a tournament lineup, but I don't know that he's going to be my cash guy.
Oh, he's my everything.
But it's not so obvious.
Now, you got Lester and Liriano. You got Kluber.
Yeah.
And you're not going Felix at Colorado.
You probably shouldn't.
And Garrett Richards is a possibility against the Indians.
It might be an interesting, contrarian play, Hernandez at Colorado, but
he's so expensive.
Rice and Toss at Milwaukee also.
That's Tyson Ross for the uninitiated. But, for me in my cash games, it's between Kluber and Lester. I may end up splitting the two. Kluber's 11-3. Lester's an even 10,000. I have a feeling I'll like my Lester lineup more, so I may give him the slight edge. He's basically been an ace since April, and he's going against the Pirates, who I think are second to last against left-handers in runs scored. And runs scored is not the best number to use. I think they're closer to middle of the pack in OPS against lefties, but the point is they're not a great offense against left-handed pitchers.
How about Liriano against the Cubs? Actually, that's who I'm leaning towards.
Well, he doesn't give you as many innings as Lester, and the Cubs are better against left-handers than the Pirates are. So that's why I'm leaning Lester.
However,
over Liriano.
There's a good chance Chris Bryant will not be playing.
Yeah.
So that would probably.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah.
And there's obviously Jason Kipnis is probably not going to be playing. So if you want to go with Garrett Richards, you know, you could consider that. Yeah, I don't know. I see your point for all those guys. I didn't love the hitters today, so Quintana for me and a little more money to spend. Do you remember any of the hitters you guys used? I know I have, Seth Smith at 3,000.
Well,
he's at Colorado.
3,000? He is not the biggest Mariner to slip through the cracks going to Colorado.
Who is?
Mark Trumbo, who's been hot lately. It's only $2,300.
Oh, wow. Okay. That slipped through the cracks for sure.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Assuming he's in the Mariners lineup, and they're going to have to kick somebody out with no DH, obviously. But assuming Trumbo's in, he's got to be in my lineup that price. That's at Colorado. Fair. I also think this is definitely a day to start Paul Goldschmidt. He's only 4,400, which is the lowest I remember him being in weeks. And Doug Fister. It's just a bad pitcher in general, I feel like, but especially against right-handers, has these awful reverse platoon splits. So Goldschmidt should live up to the price tag there, as he seems to do most days.
Yeah, it's a great point. I have Goldschmidt in my lineup as well. I think I have Adam Jones in my lineup. He's 3,000, 3,200. Baltimore is facing Jesse Chavez, who has been pitching very poorly. The game is in Oakland, and it's a first game of a West Coast trip, so I don't know. Maybe not ideal scenario, but Chavez has not been pitching well.
No.
Okay. So Ketel Marte is 3,200. I'm going to avoid Cano because he's very expensive. He's over 4,000, I think, or right around there. And I don't like dealing with guys who are a little banged up and are super expensive. So, I mean, I get a lefty against Eddie Butler is very tempting, but I'm going to stay away from Cano. Brad Miller and Chris Taylor are very affordable, whoever's starting at shortstop, if one of them is in fact starting at shortstop. You have to check the lineup.
It'll probably be more between Miller and Marte, but they're both shortstop, right? I think Marte's in as a shortstop.
Yes, he is.
So 3,400 or 3,000 at Coors Field. I think I'll probably go with it, whichever one of them is starting.
Yeah, okay. Anything else? I mean, I'm sure Zunino is fairly cheap.
3,000, but I like Stephen Vogt at 2,200. He's facing Tyler Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. You found some bargains. All right, I got to put that in there. Vogt and Trumbo, and then maybe I can upgrade pitcher. I really do like Quintana.
If Jesus Montero is starting at first base at Colorado, he's only 2,300 as a catcher. So he would probably even beat out Stephen Vogt in that scenario.
With any other major bargains? I'm staying away from Anthony Rizzo tonight, even though he has homered in four of his last five games. He is 3 for 22. Oh, no, he's 4 for 20 against Liriano with 7 strikeouts. Yeah. And Lucas Duda is 3 for 22 against Tom Kohler in his career. So those two guys are two of the four most expensive first basemen.
And what is, I don't have Goldschmidt. The prices, and I have not set my lineup. What is Abreu's price? Do you know?
He is, okay, so Goldschmidt, Abreu, Rizzo, and Duda are all between 41 and 4,400, I think.
Okay, so no bargain there.
No, but you might as well go Goldschmidt, I think, for the reasons Scott pointed out.
Yeah.
And if you want to go cheap at first base, Ryan Zimmerman is $2,200 against Zach Godley. I don't love it, but if you need to save money, it's hard to find players of that caliber against for $2,200.
Yeah. One guy I like who we haven't mentioned, you mentioned Jesse Chavez is pitching against the Orioles today. Adam Jones is $3,200. I feel like
I said that.
Oh, you said Adam Jones?
Come on, son.
I'm sorry. I must have been looking at my notes at the time.
That's okay. Now, Scott's spot on. So you've helped me out quite a bit in the last 5 minutes. So thank you. And if you want more help, tune into DF Live 4 p.m. Eastern Time on CBSSports.com. I got to end this fun. Alan, Scott, thank you, fellas.
Thank you, Adam.
Enjoyed it, Adam.
I enjoyed it too. Sportsline and SEC on CBS. New podcast. Check them out. I'm Adam Azer for Scott White and Al Melchior. See you later.